This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abam, welcome everyone. Parshas Kisavai, we're moving closer to the Yom HaDin HaBa'aleinu L'Toiva, and we hope the Ribbon Shalom should be Mevarech all of us and all of Klal Yisrael with a Shana Toiva Umesuka. And we know one of the great Avodos of Rosh Hashanah, again, Bruchim Abam to the Kollel Agra D'Pirka of Kew Garden Hills, and whoever's joining us with Zoom or on the telephone. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Rosh Hashanah and Dav Tezayin that on each particular Yom Tov, it is recommended that we serve Hashem similar to what we're being judged on as a means of appeasing Hashem to grant us success in that inyan. So on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, Ve'imru lefnei lefanai b'Rosh Hashanah malchiyos zechroinos v'shaifarois. Say before me on Rosh Hashanah my kingship and sovereignty, my memorial and the shofar, malchios kedei shetamlichuni aleicha, malchios so that you should proclaim me as king, zechroinos kedei sheyala zechornechem lefanei letoiva, zechroinos so that your memory rises up before me for good, uvameh, and with what? B'shofar. So we say malchios to proclaim God as king, zechroinos to allow our memory to rise up before God for the good, and the instrument of that is the shofar. One may have read that the shofar is the instrument by which we cause our memory to rise up before God for the good. However, the Ritva says, when the Gemara asks, Uvama is not just going back on the previous clause, how do we allow our memory to rise up before God for the good? But it's going back on the clause before as well, how do we proclaim God as king? And the answer is with the shofar. Bema roi lahamlichi. With what is it worthy to proclaim me as king and to mention my memory before you? With the shofar. So the question we have to ask is, in what way is a shofar an instrument, specifically the instrument, by which we proclaim God as king? If you want to proclaim God as king, get a trumpet or a clarinet or some kind of other instrument, which is typically used to coronate a king, but to cut off the horn of a ram and to blow something that sounds like genuche ganach, yelule yalal, which sounds like moaning, crying, and groaning, I don't know of any king that would want to be coronated with the wailing, mournful sounds of the shofar. So why is the shofar the instrument by which we proclaim God as king? Now in this week's parasha, Kisavai, which is the parasha of the Toichacha, and we also have the Leviim, who are standing by Har Grizim and Har Eval, half of Klal Yisrael on Har Grizim, half of Klal Yisrael on Har Eval, and we have this very depictive account of what it's going to look like. The Gemara says in Soita Daf Lamed Beis, Brachos uklalos ketzad. How were the blessings and curses arranged? Kiven she'avru Yisrael ha'yarden. When the Jewish people crossed the Jordan, Ubo el Har Grizim el Har Eval, Shabbat Shomron, and they came in the Shomron to Har Grizim and Har Eval, Shabbat Sad Shchem, Shabbat Eitzel Leilon Eimoira, Shenemar Haloi Heima Be'ever ha'yarden. Here it says, Haloi Heima Be'ever ha'yarden, Ulhalonu Oimer, Vayavar Avram Ba'arts Admir Kamshchen Ad Eilon Moira. Ma Elon Moreh Amar Lalon Shchem, just like Elon Moreh that it says by Avraham Shchem, Af Elon Moreh Amar Kan Shchem. Shisha Shvatim Alu L'Rosh Har Grizim. Six tribes went up to the top of Har Grizim. Shisha Shvatim Alu L'Rosh Har Eval. VaHaKoyhanim VaHaLeviim VaHaAroin Oimdim Lamata. The Koyhanim, the Leviim, and the Aroin stood below BeEmtza in the middle. So HaKoyhanim HaKifin as HaAroin, the Koyhanim would encircle the Aroin. VaHaLeviim as HaKoyhanim, the Leviim would encircle the Koyhanim. V'chol Yisrael mikano l'kan, and all of Israel on each side. Shenemar v'chol Yisrael v'zekeinov v'shaitov v'shaftov. Oimdim v'mizel HaAroin. Hofchu pneim klapei Har Grizim. They turn their faces toward Har Grizim. U'paschu b'bracha. Baruch ha'esh asher lo yasa pesel ma'aseicha. Ve'elu ve'elu oinim amen. And these answer amen. Havchu Paneim Klape Harevel, they would turn their face toward Harevel, Paschal Beklala. They began with a curse. Aror Ha'esha Shaloyasa Pesel Masecha. Ve'elu ve'elu aynam amen. And these would answer amen. So we have this very descriptive account of what occurred when the Jewish people crossed the Yarden. So in other words, this week's parsha is not telling you what happened yet, but rather what will happen when the Jewish people cross the Yarden. And the pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, Anoichi Noisein Lefnechem Hayom Beracha Uklala. See, I place before you today blessing and curse. Now, interesting that if God is talking to the Jewish people, why does God use the expression "see"? He's speaking to them. He should say "listen," like in the Gemara, "Tashma, come in here," not "come and see." You know, unless you're coming in with PowerPoint and with designs and some kind of projector, you need to say, come in here, come and listen, because your argument and your what you're presenting is words. So words, you listen to them, you don't see them. So the Ber Yosef from Yosef Tzvi Salant asks, what's this lashon of see? Hash seeing is only shayach by something that is tangible, but not on speech and words. Of speech and words, you can only have shmiya, not riya. Number two, pasach b'lashon yachid re'ei. It begins in lashon yachid re'ei v'siyim b'lashon rabim. Anoichi noisein lefneichem. Why does the pasuk begin? See, I place before you. Re'ei anoichi noisein lefneichem hayom. Re'ei is lashon yachid, and lefneichem is lashon rabim. Is he speaking to one Jew, or is God speaking to many Jews? And third of all, why hayom? Why re'ei anoichi noisein lefneichem hayom? See, I place before you today. Why today? The blessing and curses did not happen until many, many years after the Jewish people crossed the Yarden. And number four, what is this whole charade and this whole skit? Okay, half the Jews, you go on Har Gerizim. The other half of the Jews, okay, you guys get on Har Eval. And I want the Kohanim Levim to be in the middle. And the Levim are going to say a Baruch. And then half the Jews say Amen. And then they're going to say an Aror. And the other half are going to say Amen. What do we need this for? Let God just say, if you follow the Torah, you're blessed. If you don't follow the Torah, you're cursed. What do we need the mountains? What do we need them to climb the mountain? The Jews climbed up the mountain. Why? Why do they need to climb up the mountain? And what do you think they saw when they climbed up the mountain? You know, what is this all about? Why this exercise? Why this charade and skit? The Gemara in Kedushin tells us that if you think that your personal repertoire of mitzvos and averos is really only relevant to you yourself, but in terms of the rest of the world, it's of little significance. The Gemara says, don't think that way. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon la'olam yira adam atzmo ki l'chetzi chai v'chetzi zakai. Person should always see himself as if he is half guilty and half innocent. Asa mitzvah achas, if you do one good deed, ashrab shechriya atzmo l'kav z'chus. Fortunate is he that he tilts and he inclines, and he's machriya himself to the side of merit. Avra avira achas, oy lo shechazaz lekav choiva, shenemar v'choite echad ya'abe toiva harbe. Let a person not think, you know what, either I'm a good guy, so whether I do a small sin, in the scheme of things, I'm a guy who has mostly mitzvahs. Or let a person not think, yeah, I'm a rasha. If I do a mitzvah, it's not going to help me anyway. A person should always view themselves as if they're exactly 50-50, and if they do one mitzvah, it will literally tilt the scales of their outcome in this world and in the afterlife. Rebbe Lezer Bar Shimon Oimer, Because a person is judged based on his majority. And an individual is based after his majority, after the preponderance of mitzvahs. Asa mitzvah achas. If you do one mitzvah, ashra, fortunate is he, shechriyas atzeis, kol ha'olam lekavzchus. Fortunate is he that he inclines himself, and he inclines the whole world to the side of merit. Over avira achas oiloi shechriyas atzeis, kol ha'olam lekavchoyva. Shenemar v'choyte yechad ya'abe toiva harbe. Now we're learning that let a person not only think that he's 50-50, he should think the entire world is 50-50. And if he does one mitzvah, he tilts the scales. And he brings the world to success, happiness, and health. And if he does one sin, he could literally destroy the world. If you want to know what does it mean to destroy the world, who knows? There could be pandemic, there could be earthquake, hurricane. On the other hand, someone does one mitzvah could change the course of the entire world. The stock market could reach the highest point it's ever reached. A human being has the capacity, one human being has the capacity to determine the fate and the state of the whole world. So now we're learning that every single morning, when you wake up in the morning, you need to think, right now, the world is teetering. And if I daven properly, I will bring the world to merit. And if I do not, if I misbehave by the davening, if I speak by the davening, if I'm on my phone during the davening, I will literally destroy the entire world. That's how a person should envision themselves. Well, says Bar Yosef, you could say, you know why God divided all the Jewish people into two camps? Because since the Gemara teaches us that we are required to envision and imagine and have a vivid description and picture in our mind that the world has two big scales, and on one side of the scale are like 50 trillion mitzvahs, and on the other side of the scale are exactly 50 trillion averos, and the next deed I do will determine the fate of the whole world. So God says, let me give you a little help. Let me give you an illustration. Let me give you a vivid description of what you should imagine. A very clear picture. God says, let me give you PowerPoint. You know what big scales are? Hey, you guys, put 300,000 Jews on one side of one mountain. Put another 300,000 Jews on the other mountain. And that's like the two big scales of the whole world, where they're exactly equal. If you want to know, if you want a description, you want a picture, what does it mean? La'olam yira adam es atzmei ves kol ha'olam kilu chatzi zakai v'chatzi chayav. That is the visual description of Har-Grizim and Har-Eval. This charade is not a charade. This is how we need to view the world every day of our life. Says Rav Tzvi Tzalantu, Lahoyrois al inyan azen etztavu kishabo lahargrizim har-eval, and we're mekabel the Torah ba'ala uvishvua, and for Klal Yisrael to be arevim zelazeh, that Klal Yisrael will be divided into two halves, six shvatim on lahargrizim, six on har-eval, and to give brach dargrizim and klala on har-eval. The reason for this is Shetei, God wants us to envision ourselves Ki'ilu ha-mechtza ro'i le-bracha b'shul shikim ha-satayra. God says, I want you to envision yourself. It's like half the world is ro'i for blessing because they fulfilled the Torah. And the other half is ro'i for the opposite because they didn't. They weren't mekabel the Torah. God is trying to awaken us that every Jew has to realize the great achrayas that's placed on his shoulder and the picture that we need to envision ourselves at all time. With this visual representation that Klal Yisrael is teetering, we're exactly 50-50, half of them on Har-Grizim, half the Jewish people are doing mitzvahs, half the Jewish people are doing averos, and what you, Rabbi Yid, are about to do will tilt the scales and determine the state and the fate of the whole world. And that is why God says, Re'eh, see, I'm not telling you words now. I am now giving you a tzir chushi, a visual representation of how you have to imagine this. These are the big scales. If you have a hard time imagining big scales, imagine 300,000 Jews on the top of Har-Grizim, 300,000 Jews on the top of Har-Evo, Re'eh. Re'i Aseinayim, Histakel. That it's mechsa al mechsa. Realize the kaf maznaim is shakul, and what you do will tilt the scales. And God is talking to every yachid, re'ei, see, yachid, rebyid, rebyankol, see, that what you do is lifneichem will affect the tzibur. So God is talking re'ei to the yachid, but he's telling the yachid that what the yachid does will affect the tzibur, will affect kol ha'olam kulay. What an incredible pshad, and what the purpose of the exercise on Hargrizim Harevel was. God is saying, I'm not just telling you to imagine it, I will give you a very vivid description of what it looks like. And therefore it's Hayoim. Why is it Hayoim? Every single day, we need to envision, and we need to wake up in the morning and say, right now, the world is teetering, and what I'm about to do makes all the difference in the world. So to me, this is like a very ennobling and jarring and inspiring pshat in the function of the brachos and kolos on Hargrizim and Harevel. And then it comes out that this is a obligation that devolves upon us every day of our life, to really realize that the world is dependent not on some gadol somewhere, not on my rabbi, not on a rav. It's dependent, the whole world is dependent on me. Who says I need to think that way? The Gemara. La'olam yira adam es atzmai, shekol ha'olam mechza al mechza. Where do we see that this is of vital importance? This, says the Rav Tzvi Salant, is the function of the brachos uklalos on Hargrizim and Har'eval. But now we come to a very interesting Rambam. Friends, now that we're learning that is incumbent upon us every single day of our life to envision ourselves as if we're 50-50, if you were the Rambam and you were codifying this halacha, where would you put this halacha? I might put it in Hilchos Deos. After all, this is an attitude we need to have every day. Or even if I put it in Hilchos Tshuva, I would put it in the general laws of Tshuva. But what does the Rambam do? The Rambam places this halacha that we are required to imagine and envision ourselves as if we're 50-50. The Rambam places it in Hilchos Tekiah Shofar, in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam says, even though Tekiah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah is a heavenly decree, Remez Yeshboy, it has a meaning, it has a message. Koloimar, Uru, Uru, Yeshenim, Yishinaschem, awaken, awaken, you sleepers from your slumber. V'hakitzu nirdamim yiterdamaschem, and awaken, you slumberers from your sleep. V'chipsu b'maaseichem, investigate your ways. V'chazru b'tshuva, repent in tshuva, v'zichru b'irachem, and remember your Creator. And if you ask, what does it mean? Who is sleeping? We're all asleep. Because we forget the truth in the emptiness of the time, and we spend our whole year in emptiness and nothing. Habitu l'nafshoy seichem, the shofar says. Look into your soul. Improve your ways. Leave your sins. So the Rambam is telling us what the shofar tells you. In other words, if let's say you hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and you say, wow, boy, was that a powerful shivarim. He really has the pipes to blow that tekiah gedoila. Last year he did it for 19 seconds and this year he got up to 21 seconds. If that's what you get out of the shofar, you miss the whole boat. This is not about a sound. The shofar talks to you. And the shofar tells all of us, snap out of it. Snap out of it. We're all so tied down and caught up in the emptiness of this world, in food, money, pleasure, kavod, all the emptiness, all the foolishness that people, that we spend our time with. And the shofar says, wake up. Wake up. Don't forget what your function in this world is. And then out of completely left field, And not left field when there's Major League Baseball and there are 50,000 people in the stands. I'm talking about left field today when nobody's even watching because nobody's there. The Rambam says, "Lefikach tzara kol adam sheyire atzmai kol hashana kula." Therefore, a person should imagine himself the whole year ki'ilu chetziyai zakai v'chetziyai chayev, as if he's half innocent and half guilty. V'chein kol olam kulay chetziyai zakai v'chetziyai chayev. If you do one sin, you tilt yourself and the whole world for guilt, and you destroy the world. You do one mitzvah, you tilt yourself and the whole world for merit, and you cause great salvation. And this is what it means, v'tzadik yisoid olam. And then says the Rambam, for this reason, all of Israel increases in tzedakah and masim tovim, beginning Rosh Hashanah, until Yom Kippur, more than the rest of the year. Could someone tell me, Ma Shemita Eitzel Har Sinai? Why in the world does the Rambam bring in the daily obligation to envision yourself as if you're 50-50 and as if the whole world is 50-50 in the context of blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? What in the world does blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah got to do with the daily obligation to envision yourself as if you're teetering and you need to tilt the scales, as if the whole world was teetering and you need to tilt the scales? What's that got to do with the shofar? The mitzvah of a shofar is a regular is a wake-up call that is specific for Rosh Hashanah, and this halacha, that you have to imagine yourself as if you're 50-50, this is a daily obligation and it has nothing at all to do with Rosh Hashanah. Marv Raboisai, I would like to shatter a very common misconception. The main focus on Rosh Hashanah is Malchios, God's sovereignty. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimelech, Li'aylam Vod. That's what we do the whole day on Rosh Hashanah. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimelech, La'adeyad Yimelech, Yimelech Hashem Li'aylam. Meloich al kol olam kulay. That's the theme of Rosh Hashanah. Avinu Malkeinu, Hamelech HaKadosh, Hamelech HaMishpat. So we mistakenly think to ourselves, wow, boy, does this king like to hear how powerful his sovereignty is. Why does the king want to hear this so much? We almost think it's like God elevating himself above us. And somehow this is giving God a boost, and it's the exact opposite of the concept of Malchios. The Ramchal in the Sefer Derech Hashem writes about the various names of God. God has a name Yudke Vavke, He was, is, and will be, which indicates God is above and beyond any human comprehension. God is, so to speak, does not relate and is not confined and is above and beyond anything in this world. He has no connection to this world. He is an entity that is lamala, lamala, lamava. But then God has a name, Elohim. Elohim is God's relation with this world. God is connection to this world. That He is Bal HaYecholos, Bal HaKoychos Kulam. That even though God is above and beyond this world, He interacts with this world. He guides it. He is Mashgiach over it. There's reward and punishment. In other words, we would think God is so omnipotent and omniscient and omnipotent that there's no interaction between God and this lowly world. And Elohim says, no, God controls and is in, knows and is rewards and punishes this world and those who live in this world. But in no way yet does God, so to speak, will He lower Himself to take pride in His subjects, because God is still above and beyond any kind of he does not receive any elevated status through the service of his subjects. He just happens to govern and control the world. But then God says, not only am I Yud Kei Vav Kei, and not only am I Elohim, and I govern and guide the world, I am your Melech, I am your King. And we know a king takes pride in the service of his subjects. Beroiv Am Hadras Melech. The fact that God allows himself to lower himself, God lowers himself, as if kiviyachol he takes pride in our service, that is the greatest humility of the Ribbono Shel Olam. God's humility is evident through his malchus. Otherwise God should say, I'm not your melech. I'll give you a mashal. Imagine if somebody walks into the Kollel Agur de Pirka, and he comes in and he's wearing a crown. And we say, hey pal, why are you wearing a crown? That's a little strange. And he said, don't you know? Didn't you hear the news? We said, no. I was just coronated. Azoi, really? Who are you coronated over? Oh, you didn't hear. I have mosquitoes in my backyard. And I gathered them all together in a box. And we had a ceremony. And I was coronated the king of the mosquito. Who coronated you? You don't know. You didn't hear. The exterminator came. The exterminator came and he put his, you know that tank he wears on his back with that stick that shoots out the poison? He tapped that on my head and he appointed me Melech al kol hayitushim, the king of the mosquitoes. So from now on, when I walk into Kollel Agur de Pirka, I want everyone to stand up and give me the proper kavod. Get down on your hands and knees. The Magid Shir, he doesn't have to put his face on the ground. But everybody else, I want them with their face on the ground. And then afterwards, I want the rabbi to come over and bow down three times to the new Melech al Kol Hayitushim. So what would we do? We would probably call the NYPD and have the guy arrested and admitted immediately into the nearest institution for very serious medical treatment. Because if somebody thinks that they are a melech over something that should reasonably not give anybody any kavod or honor, that is a condition. So in order to be a melech, either what has to be is the melech is going to have a yachas with his subjects. You see, if the melech is a completely different strata than his avodim, then there's no kavod in the malchus. There's only kavod in the malchus if the melech and the avodim have something in common, and the melech is misnase, is a little bit more elevated. But if the melech, imagine if I came in, I said, by the way, I have a new position, I am the melech of all the bacteria that rests on people's toes. Say, Rabbi, I think you should look for a better position. You know, you need to have a yachas. You need to have an association with that which you're a melech over for the malchus to mean something. So for God to allow himself to be referred to as melech, that's not Hashem's gava or geos, that's God's anivos. God, so to speak, is lowering himself to allow himself to be considered our melech. The Derech Hashem says, what does it mean God is our melech? Ki amnam amitas mitzvus is baruch hu dar bilti nisla bezulasek al bilti misyachis bezulasek. God's reality in essence is something that is not dependent on anything and is not connected to anything. God exists perforce inherently. He has no association with anything else. Like lamala, not above him. Like lamata, not below him. There is nothing that God is dependent on, and there is nothing that even indirectly is needed by God. And in this sense, God is called Elohim because he exists inherently. But because God wanted to create a world and he wanted them to be dependent on him on all their levels, God says, look, So again, a little different than I said before. Elohim is referring to God's absolute inherent existence. Adoy and then Noi refers to God as, look, at the end of the day, I created the world. So if I created the world, I do have some association with the world. And that is, I am the master of the world. So in other words, if you have an ant farm, then it's your ant farm. You're the owner of the ant farm. So you exist independent of the ant farm. But in terms of your relationship with the ant farm, you are the Adoin of the ant farm. So in that sense, God is the master of the world because He created it, so it's His. Ve'ulam oid ratza betuvay v'chazdai. God wanted in His goodness and kindness to lower Himself. Be'an vasai, in His humility, as rum kvoidai, the loftiness of His honor. V'li'ois mesyaches al nevrav, to be associated with His creations. Afal pi shabamas in lam yachas yimai klal, even though He has no association with them at all. And He wants to be with them in the madrega of king, that He should be considered their roish and manig, and to miskabed in them like a melech that's miskabed ba'amoy. And like the pasuk says, beroy v'am hajas melech. What do you mean beroy v'am hajas melech? God gets more kavod when there are more people in the shul than if some of the people stay outdoors or at home. Yeah, God gets more kavod. Why would the Almighty God take kavod in a mere flesh and blood? That's like a human, that would be like a human being taking kavod for being a melech over amoeba. But the answer is God in His infinite humility allows us to consider Him our king, and as if He takes pride in us. And in this capacity we need to serve Hashem. Now, what we're going to learn now is really a remarkable essay of Rav Huttner, where in my mind what he's doing is he really takes the Darach Hashem and he brings it and looks at it from a little bit of a different vantage point. What I mean is as follows. The Darach Hashem just explained that for God to be considered our Melech, He needs to lower Himself as if He has an association with us, as if we all have some commonality, and God is just a little bit more elevated. Otherwise, the concept of Malchus is not Shayach. But let's talk about the guy in the backyard who's a Melech over his ant farm. And we said this is ridiculous. You can't be a Melech over an ant farm. Maybe you're a Moishel. What's the difference between a Melech and a Moishel? A Melech is, so to speak, on equal playing field with his subject. He's just a little bit more elevated, and a Moishel completely dominates his subjects and is on a completely different plane. So if somebody has an ant farm in their backyard, would you consider them a Melech or would you consider them a Moishel? They should be considered a Moishel. So in what way is God our Melech? Aren't we much further from God than an amoeba is to a human being? Meaning, if it would be ridiculous for a human to be king over a collection of mosquitoes, isn't it more ridiculous that God is our king? I get God's humility that He lowers Himself. But Rav Huttner says, not only does God need to lower Himself for Him to be our king, He needs to elevate us for us to be eligible for Him to be our king. But what does that mean to elevate us? Aren't we so lowly? Weren't we created? May offer va'efer. And this is really going to open to us the secret of Rabbi Yisai, why Rosh Hashanah is the day that God becomes the king over the universe. Isn't God always the king? What does Rosh Hashanah got to do with Hashem's sovereignty? But what we're about to learn is, not only does God need to lower Himself for Him to be our king, but God needs to elevate us for Him to be our king. And Rav Huttner gives really quite a remarkable example. Can you be a king of sheep? Can be a king of sheep, you could be a shepherd, but a shepherd, a powerful shepherd, has nothing in common with sheep that we could say that he's the melech on the sheep. Imagine if one day, while he was leading his sheep, like the Trojan horse, all of a sudden, people started unzippering their wool, and they popped out of the sheep fur, and they said to the shepherd, "You're our king! You're our king! We're not sheep, we're really human beings!" He just became a king. Because you can't be a king of sheep, you could be a moishel of sheep, you can't be a melech of sheep. But now that it's been revealed that these are not ordinary sheep, but these are b'nei Adam, the shepherd could be a king. If there is one day that it becomes revealed that we are not basar v'dam, but rather we have divinity, we have tzelem elokim, we have godliness to us, we are in the image of the Lord, that is the day where God says, this is not like someone who is a king over amoeba, where we say that's a ridiculous sovereignty. God, yes, he needs to humble himself to allow us to consider him our king, but he also needs to elevate us. And it has to be apparent that we are godly for him to be our king. Rosh Hashanah is the day that God instilled within our nostril the neshama. What happened on Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is the day that God imbued within us our divinity, our tzelem elokim, our godliness. That itself triggers that now God is not a moishel, he's a melech. Because we're not amoeba, we're not bacteria, we're not behema, we're not even basar v'dam. We have a commonality with our melech. Yes, of course God is misnase over us. But kedoshim tiyu yachal kamoini. There's a real havamino. You could be kadosh like the Ribbono Shel Olam Talmud Loimar. Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Kedushasi lamala mikedushaschem. At the end of the day, I'm holier. But there is a commonality of holiness that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is what renders Ribbono Shel Olam eligible to be our melech. Says the Pachad Yitzchak. The Gemara tells us, say before me Malchiah so that you could proclaim me upon you. Meaning to say, the Melucha here is at the end of the Pasuk. The whole function of the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah is to reveal God's Melucha, and this is the way it's done. The Gemara in Kedushin says a person should always view himself as if he's 50-50, and the whole world as if he's 50-50, and if he does one mitzvah, he tilts the scales. Now this obligation is an obligation of fear of sin. This kind of attitude will steer a person away from sin. And this is an attitude we need to have every single day of our lives. However, from the Rambam, we find Devash V'Chalav in the way he presents his halacha, in that the Rambam not only connects it to Tekiah Shofar, but Rav Hutner has a Mavel Dika Diuk. The Rambam says, because Tekiah Shofar is a wake-up call, Lefikach, therefore you need to envision yourself as if you're 50-50, as if the sound of the shofar is the reason why you need to envision yourself in the whole world as if you're 50-50. Now, what does the shofar got to do with it, asks Rav Hutner? And doesn't the Brice itself say, Kol Hashana Kula? Now, it's interesting. The truth is, if you look in the Rambam says, you need to do this the entire year. The Gemara doesn't quite say that. The Gemara just says la'olam, always. But the Gemara doesn't actually say the whole year. So Rav Hutner says, amazing. Rav Hutner says, let's explain what the Kabbalas Omachu Shamayim is on Rosh Hashanah. We know the song of the sixth day of creation is Hashem Melech Geyos Lavesh. Because that's the day that Adam Arishon was created, who is Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, why do we say the parak Hashem Melech in reference to the sixth day of creation that God was proclaimed king? There are a lot of parakim that talk about Hashem's Malchus. Says Rav Futner, we know that based on grammar and Lashon HaKodesh, there's a difference between Melucha and Memshala. A Moishel is when you're a ruler, a dominating ruler, without the consent of your subjects. A Melucha is when it's willing. Says Rav Futner, this is certainly correct, but this is only the external differentiation. But the essential nuance of difference is a very delicate point. We know that a human being is, what makes a human a human? It's his seichel, it's his das. We know melucha is only possible on someone similar. A lion is a lion over the chayos. The lion is the king of the gorilla and the crocodile and the bear, because they're all chayos, and the lion is just a little bit more powerful. But if a man goes out to the jungle, man is not the king of the jungle. Man is not a melech, because there's no commonality he has with the animals. Although, okay, we'll put that aside. But a human being is a different category. So a human being cannot be a melech over the animals of the jungle, but he could be a melech over other human beings. Meaning, the fact that man could conquer another animal against his will, so this melucha is not extending over the other person's das, but rather it's forced upon them and is not applicable the concept of malchus, but rather memshala. So when the grammarians say that melucha is only possible if it's midas, that's only an external symbol. But the internal rationale of it is melucha needs to have a commonality to the other object, and you're a little bit more elevated. But the lion is the king of a jungle because all the animals, so to speak, consent on their level that we're all chayos and you're a little bit more elevated than us. But for a human being to come in and bulldoze his way in with a gun and shoot all the chayos and say, I'm the melech, he's not ruling over the das of these behemoths. Now, when Adam Arishon said Hashem Melech, this does not mean that Adam was the first one who recognized that God was the king. It means with the creation of man, God's Malchus was created, because so long as man was not in the world, then God's dominion of the world was a Memshala, it was not a Malchus, because there's no commonality between God and anything He created. God's going to be what? The king of the alligators? The crocodiles, the bears, the lions. God cannot be the king over them because God has no commonality with them, and therefore He's the Moshe. But on the sixth day of creation, God said, the song was Hashem Malach, because God created man Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu. Therefore, the appropriate song for the sixth day of creation is Hashem Malach. Even though there are many Prakim and Tehillim that begin with those words, because this para captures the essence of Melucha, which is only applicable with someone who is similar. Kain Saif Pasuk Zad Hashem Malach Mastayim BeGeyos Lavesh. Geyos Lavesh means that there's a commonality, but God is a little bit more majestic. Meaning, the definition of Malchus is Geos. Geos is to be slightly elevated above your subject. That is only possible if there's a commonality. Now, listen carefully. In the calendar of the year, in the cyclical, in the living calendar of the year, the first day of the creation of man, when God said Nasa Adam, was the sixth day of creation. On this day, when Adam was created, God's Malchus was rendered. Why was God's Malchus rendered? Because now there is a being that has a commonality with the Creator. Now, in what way do we see that we have godly capacity? Friends, let's look at ourselves. How do we see that we're invested with godly and divine ability? You know how we see we have godly and divine ability? Because God tells us, I want you to imagine yourself as if you're 50-50. I want you to imagine the whole world as if the whole world is 50-50. And if you do one mitzvah, you will tilt the whole world, bring life to the whole world, bring stability and success to the whole world. And if you do one avera and you commit one sin, you will destroy the whole world. So what does that mean you have the capability to do? It is in your hands to uphold the world or destroy the world. It's up to you to keep the world going or to destroy the world. A lion can't do that. A lion cannot sustain the world. A lion cannot destroy the world. But every human being, God wants them to imagine that the next thing they do will either give stability to the world or bring destruction to the world. That is a divine gift. That is divine power. God gave us the ability to be like a Elohim, in that what we do will either bless or destroy the world. So when we imagine ourselves, and when we see ourselves, and we want to know what is our ability, this mitzvah that we have to view ourselves, that this week's parasha is giving us a visual representation of, where half the Jewish people are on Har Gerizim, and half the Jewish people are on Har Eval, and the Torah wants us to use this as a living, colorful example of what our life is, and that is, what we do will tilt the scales of the whole world. That makes us recognize that we're godly. If we could destroy or sustain the world, we are godly. And if we're godly, now God could be our melech. Because if we're basar vadam, if we're amoeba, bacteria, you can't be a melech over sheep. You can't be a melech over an animal. A lion could be a melech over the animals. A human cannot be a melech over the animals. So how could God be our king? Because He made us Betzelem Elohim. Meaning, the greater you consider your neshama, the more you're making Hashem melech. If you think of yourself as a basar vadam, then you're pushing God out of your life, because God can't be your melech. God will not be the melech over a basar vadam. That's above Him. That's below Him. The more greatness you view your neshama with, the more you're making Hashem your melech. Says Rav Hutner the following mashal. Look where I'm pointing. Mashal ma davar daima. Reuven was a moishal on a herd of sheep. And Shimon came and said, "Hey, Reuven, these are not sheep. These are sheep dressed up like humans. This is the Trojan sheep. Who made Reuven a melech?" Shimon. When Shimon told Reuven, "These are not sheep, but these are people," Shimon made him a melech. So the way with which we are mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how are we mamlech Hashem? By recognizing our divine ability, that's mamlech Hashem. The same way Shimon made Reuven a melech, when Shimon told Reuven, "These are not sheep, these are men." When we think about our tzel melekim and recognize our godliness, that makes Hashem our melech. Now we understand, says Rav Hutner, why the Rambam in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, the Rambam said, on Rosh Hashanah you blow the shofar and you make God the king. And if today is the day to make God a king, then today is the day that you need to focus on the fact that you should imagine yourself as if you're 50-50 and the whole world is 50-50. And if you do one mitzvah, you'll tilt the whole world for success. And if you do one aver, you will destroy the world. What does this got to do with Rosh Hashanah? You need to imagine this daily. The answer is because Rosh Hashanah is the day you make God a king. So the more you integrate within your mind your divine ability, which is illustrated and manifest through the concept that we need to envision ourselves as if we're 50-50 and the next thing we'll do will either uphold or destroy the world, that is Mamlech Hashem. That's how we make Hashem Melech. That is why the Rambam weaves the daily obligation of viewing yourself as if you're 50 in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. Because through this notion that we imagine and we see our divine ability, this is how we're Mamlech Hashem. That is why the Rambam takes a random Gemara in Kedushin, which is a daily obligation, and he joins it together with the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah, because the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah is to make God king. And not like what we thought before today's shir, that we make God king by, so to speak, elevating Him and He's above and beyond our stratosphere, just the opposite. The more we realize our own godliness, that's how we're Mamlech Hashem. Otherwise, God is not a Melech, He's a Moishel. So I want to share with you two Chidushim Noiraim that Hashem gave me Siyata Deshmaya to understand. The Rav Tzvi Salant, Rav Yosef Tzvi Salant, wanted to know why the pasuk says, "Ra'ei Anochi Noisin Lefneichem Hayoim," see that I place before you today. And Rav Yosef Tzvi Salant says, "What do you mean? This is something you need to do always." He asked, "What isn't this something that we only were going to do when we crossed the Yarden and stood on Har Grizim and Har Eval?" To which Rav Yosef Tzvi Salant answers that yes, even though this was an exercise that would have been done when we crossed the Yarden, but ultimately the purpose of this exercise is to give us a visual representation of how we fulfill the daily visual obligation to see yourself as if you're 50-50. So therefore the Torah says, "Re'ei Anoichi Noisin Lefneichem Hayoim." This is something you need to think about always. However, we could say something, another chiddush, and that is, we've said many times from the Zohar HaKadosh that there is a word in the Tanakh which is frequently used to describe Rosh Hashanah, and that word is Hayoim. That word is Hayoim. Like in the pasuk Atem Nitzavim Hayoim, the Zohar says in Malachim, by the Isha HaShunamis, that by Yehi Hayoim, and the Zohar says it was Rosh Hashanah. Likewise, in the pasuk of in Eiv, it says by Yehi Hayoim, Rashi says Rosh Hashanah. So too, when it says Atem Nitzavim Hayoim, we say Atem Nitzavim Hayoim, you are standing today, Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. What day do we stand before God? Hayoim on Rosh Hashanah. Or as Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld would say, "Lemishpatecha umdu hayoim ki hakol avodecha." In judgment, they stand today because all are your servants. Again, hayoim refers to Rosh Hashanah. Or as we say in the Rosh Hashanah davening, "Hayoim haraso ilam." Today is the birthday of the world. Hayoim. Well, let's take that and apply it to Parshas Re'eh. And Parshas Re'eh is saying that when you get to Parshas Kisavai, and I tell you the exercise of putting half the Jews on Har Grizim and half the Jews on Har Eval, and the purpose of that is Re'eh, because I want you to have a visual representation of what it says in Kedushin, "Lo'olam yireh adam es atzmoi, kilu mechza chayiv u'mechza zakai." But the way Rav Huttner is reading the Rambam, this obligation is especially for what day of the year? For Rosh Hashanah. Because on Rosh Hashanah, the more we realize the power invested in us that we can literally uphold or destroy the world, the more we're Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore the pasuk says, "Re'ei Anoichi Noisein Lefneichem." I want you to envision this. You know when I want you to envision this? Hayoim on Rosh Hashanah. That's when there's really an obligation to envision this. As the Rambam connects this chiyuv to the blowing of the shofar. But here's one last amazing idea. The Gemara tells us the shofar is the tool of Malchios. And what we're learning today is that for God to be our melech, not only is He lowering Himself to be our Melech and to allow Himself to be associated with us, But more than that, God needs us to be elevated into a divine status for us to be eligible to, for Him to be our Melech. And how are we elevated into being into a divine status? When we recognize that we're created in the Tzelem Aleichem. And on what day were we created in the Tzelem Aleichem? On Rosh Hashanah. That's why Rosh Hashanah is the day that Hashem is the Melech. Rabbi Yonis and Ibishit says, the blowing of the shofar is reminiscent of one of the most important events in the history of the world, maybe the most important event, or at least the second most important event, is the great day that God blew something as well. The blowing of the shofar is reminiscent of when God blew. What did God blow? Vayipach bi'apav nishmas chayim. God blew into our nostril a living spirit. The blowing of the shofar is an exercise commemorating God instilling and blowing the soul into our nostril. Says Rav Yonis and Avishitz that the blowing, God blowing into our nostril is like blowing into a shofar. He says a shofar even looks like a nose. A shofar looks like a nose. A shofar is a big nose. And it's God blow. It's representative of God blowing the air into our nostril. The Shem Yishmol says that he heard from the Avnei Nezer that the blowing of the shofar is reminiscent of Ayipach Mi'avim Nishos Chayim. And the Sifri says that when God blew the nostril into our nose, God was a toikeya. I think now we understand so beautifully how the shofar is the tool of Malchiyos. Because for God to be our king, it's not we say, hey God, you're so great, you're our king. We say, God, we're so great, so we're eligible to have you as our king. You know how we're so great? So God, how? How are you so great, the Malachim say? You guys are not so great. So we take out the shofar and we show the angels, hey angels, you know what we have that you don't have? You see this big nose? We're blowing into it. Doesn't that remind you of something? That reminds the whole world that God blew into our nostril, a living spirit. We're a piece of the divine. Once we are godly, now God's our king. Because yesterday when we forgot about the fact that we were divine, then we were a bunch of mosquitoes and amoebas and maybe sophisticated animals. So the way we viewed God was He is our Moishel. But now God took off our sheep costume on Rosh Hashanah. And He said, these guys, they're not sheep. They're not Basar V'dam. They blew shofar. They're Vayipach Bi'ap of Nishmas Chayim. So the Gemara says on Rosh Hashanah, we're Mamlech Hashem Uvamah. How are we Mamlech Hashem Bashofar? Because the shofar is the memorial for the great blowing that God blew into our nostril, the living spirit, rendered us Chelek Elokam Mimal, rendered us B'nei Elokim. And now God could be our Melech, and now we're eligible to say Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Vo'ed. Ki Lashem HaMelucha. Is God a Moishel? Yes, He is. U Moishel Bagoyim. Over the Goyim. There's no commonality. God is a Moishel. But on Rosh Hashanah, when it's revealed, the majesty of the Jewish soul, that's the day God becomes our King. This is an exercise that we have to view always. But especially, you want to know when to think about the godly power God has invested in us. Re'ei anoichi noisein lefneichem. You know when to think about this? Not only to think, to visualize. Hayoim on Rosh Hashanah. This week's parasha, Kisavai, the brachos and klalos. This is the preface to Rosh Hashanah. Because when we realize how much achrayus is on our shoulders, that literally the whole scale of the whole world is on our shoulders, that elevates us and renders us eligible to have Hashem as our Melech. Rabbi Yisrael, thanks for listening. Have a great day. Baruch Avatzacha. Baruch Tia.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.